You have your Bibles in John chapter 5 this evening, and I just draw your attention to one verse as we get started. The Lord Jesus is speaking, and he is speaking after he healed a man on the Sabbath day, which the Pharisees took great issue with that. And he said to after they had attacked him and so forth verbally and just questioning what he was doing. And he made a statement tonight that I want you to see as we launch into this idea that God is at work always around us. And I want you to notice in verse 17 what Jesus said. Obviously, the Jews persecuted Jesus, verse 16, sought to slay him because he had done these things on the Sabbath day, verse 17. But Jesus answered them. Here's what he said. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Now, hitherto is an old English word. I would venture to say probably not many of us have used that word this week. And if you did, it was probably because you were reading the Bible, which is fine. That's good. But we don't say hitherto. What does that mean? Hitherto means up until this point. From this point on back, my Father has worked. And then Jesus said, and I work. Now, we're going to go on and we're going to study the passages here a little bit, but I want you to see as we launch out tonight that Jesus pointed out a truth that God is always at work around us. And now, we could just say that amen and go home, but how in the world does that apply to us tonight, and what can we do with that? Because it's not just a truth that we can put in our basket intellectually, but it is a truth that we can apply to our life practically. And I want to help us with that if we can by God's grace, and we're going to trust the Lord to do that through His Word. Lord, bless Your Word tonight. Bless the preaching. Bless the understanding. Lord, bless Lord the application. And I pray that each one of us here would be truly responsible for the time that we have here, good stewards of our time, and the Lord of Your Word as we're given it. May You teach us wonderful things. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. Can you tonight identify times where God is working around you? Can you look today back this week or even today, and can you identify times where you've seen God and you've identified places where God is working around you? Now, I don't say that other than to help us to assess where we are in our understanding of these things. It's possible to walk through life and to go about our lives oblivious to the fact that God is working all around us. It's in the Bible. We see that. We see it in our own lives by example. But I want you to identify, or I want you to be able to see, A, I've seen God working around me, or, you know what, I've gone through some days and weeks where I just don't remember seeing God work around me. Number two question tonight is, has your service for God been focused or centered more upon you and what you're comfortable doing, what you're comfortable in, what you're comfortable partaking in, whatever, or is it characterized by listening to the voice of God in conjunction with what you're seeing Him doing and then participating with Him in it? I want to show you tonight that God has given us, I think, a pattern through the Lord Jesus Christ to be able to see and understand not only God's working, but how I can be involved in it. And I think that's encapsulated in our text verse tonight, where Jesus told those that are persecuting Him, questioning Him, saying, how dare you do these things? Jesus gave a very important insight, and that was, my Father worketh hitherto, and I work. I'd like to just point out a few truths concerning that tonight, and let me just give it to you in a form that is direct and simple tonight. Number one, as I've already mentioned to you, the truth is God is working around us all the time. And considering the passage before us tonight, I believe we've made that point clear. Jesus made the statement that His Father has worked, and now He works. This striking statement is that God is always working around us. And I bring to you tonight the truth of the matter, and that is that God's work is always redemptive, and He is always doing a redemptive work. Do I need to remind you tonight that at the beginning of the world, when God created Adam and Eve, and Adam and Eve sinned and walked away from Him, in their disobedience, God already had a plan in place to redeem man. The Bible says that the redemptive story of mankind has been in place from the beginning of the earth, from the foundations of the world. As a matter of fact, would you turn with me, please, over to hold your place in John and turn back to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. And let me point out to you one phrase that I believe will help us to see this. Verse number 34. Now, Matthew 25 is all about kingdom parables and Jesus' prophecy about what was going to happen in the future. But notice, if you would, he, in the midst of his prophecy about the kingdom of God and how the judgment would come, he makes a very striking statement that I believe is important and relative to what we're talking about. Verse 34 says, "The king shall say unto them on his right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you." And then the next phrase says, "From the foundation of the world." I want to remind you tonight that God has been preparing his kingdom, and he has had his kingdom in place from the foundation of the world. I know that the Bible says that Jesus, when he went away, says, "I go to prepare a place for you." But that's not when it began. We know that he began even from the beginning of the world. And everything that God has done, from the time that he has created man to the time man failed God in disobedience, and then that time when God then began his redemptive work of bringing mankind back to himself, giving Jews the history and working with his chosen people and their rejection of him, and then ultimately sending Jesus Christ, the Son, to be the sacrifice, the propitiation and payment for our sins, we find that God, in all of his work, all the time has been redemptive. And he continues to do that redemptive work all the time. There is never a time when God is not doing something to redeem and to work his plan around us. Now you say, "Pastor, what are you making this big point about?" Because I want you to be absolutely convinced of this. I don't want there to be any question in your mind. I don't want there to be any question when the dark days come and you don't find God anywhere in your life. You can't see him working. I don't understand. It doesn't seem like there's anything that I can do to understand God's working. I want you to come to the rock solid truth tonight. That is, whether you're experiencing it or not, whether you see it or not, God is at work always. Now come to that rock solid truth in your mind, because there will be a time now where you're thinking to yourself, "Man, I just don't see it. I don't understand. It seems like God has forgotten me, or he's forgotten the situation, or he's forgotten this work," or whatever it might be. But I'll tell you today, the problem is not God. The problem is always our focus and perception. God is always at work. Maybe there's times when God's doing a work behind the scenes that we can't see. But we always need to be convinced of the fact that he is always working. And so there's never a time then when he's not drawing men, leading men, convicting men, using men for his plan in this world. When I say men, I hope you understand, I'm not talking about the male gender. I'm talking about mankind. And even those lost, even those wicked men, I believe God uses, and we see that testimony through Scripture, to accomplish his plan. God is doing his work. Now, you say, "Pastor, that's wonderful. That just gives me kind of the license then to sit back and let God do the driving. And I'm just going to be along for the ride." Now, I think there's a sense in which that's true. But the wrong application is, I don't need to do anything. Because Jesus said, "My Father worketh hitherto." And then what did he say? "And I work." So it would have been one thing for him to say, "My Father's working, and we're just going to see how this all kind of turns out, and we'll just leave it to him." And ultimately, God is in charge. There's nothing we can do to affect that. We can't necessarily, I don't have any sway other than praying and trusting the Lord. But let me say tonight, God has uniquely equipped us to be able to participate with him in that work. Now here comes the application in just a little bit. He, number two, involves us in the work that he is doing. Now, I can't stress this enough, church. The typical human response is, if somebody else is going to do the work, then we'll let them do it. I mean, we do that here in our workaday ethic. If somebody else is going to do it, hallelujah. More power to you. Let me know how I can help, or don't. The fact is, if somebody's willing to do the work, we're willing to let them. But the fact is that God is doing a work But he has designed and he desires us to be a part and to cooperate with him in that work. Now we see that in the life of the Lord Jesus. Christ was our example. And if you'll notice a couple times in Christ's life when he spoke about his relationship with the Father, let me read these scripture verses to you tonight. John 7 and verse 16. Jesus answered them and said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Do you see the relationship there? Jesus was fully consumed and fully focused on teaching what God wanted him to teach. Now you say, "I don't understand. I thought Jesus was God." Now don't get confused in the weeds. What I'm talking about tonight is the fact that Jesus is a human. God in the flesh is an example to us. Now I know he's God, so we can never, you know, be perfect. Don't fall into that trap. Jesus was our example. This is why he was here. Now, there's certain things that we don't have. We don't have omniscience. We don't have omnipotence. But I'll tell you, when Jesus came to be a man on this earth, we find him laying aside many of those attributes willingly so that he could identify with us as a man. And so we can find our example in him. And if he says, "My doctrine and my teaching is only what my Father wants me to teach," that's a good example for us. All right, number two, look at John 8:28. Or just listen if you would. "Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man," figuratively, literally on the cross, "then shall ye know that I am he." And here's what he says, "that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things." Here's what he was saying. Jesus, as God, as human on this earth, never initiated anything of his own will. He didn't initiate a ministry. He didn't initiate a conversation. He didn't initiate any kind of service or healing or anything apart from what God wanted him to do. What am I saying tonight? God has a plan and he wants to involve us in that plan. He did that with the Lord Jesus. John chapter 10 and verse number 37 and 38. "If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him." John 14, 10. "Believest thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works." I'm pointing this out tonight. I want you to see it. John 17, verse 8. "For I have given unto them the words which thou gavest me," just as Jesus praying to his Father, "and they have received them and have known surely that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me." Here's what the point was. Jesus said, "I do always those things that please the Father." His desire, his focus was 100% in joining God the Father in his redemptive plan, even obedience unto the death of the cross, Philippians chapter 2 tells us. What I'm saying tonight is God desires to involve us in his work. Number one, he is always doing a work around us. There is never a time when he's not working. Number two, he wants to involve you in the work that's happening around you. Now, it's hard to be involved in the work of God that's happening around you if you don't see it. How many are with me? Now, Christians, I think there's a lot of truth here that we can take to our feet and put into practice as we look at this. Even as Jesus did nothing of himself, but when the Father worked in his life, he could do anything. That's what he did. I point out, we could understand the fact that Jesus, when he went about healing multitudes and many people that came to him, but I want to tell you tonight, that was only a localized group of people in Israel at that time. How many of you know there were sick and lame and dead and blind all over the world? I'm going to kill myself. That's probably not good on a recording, is it? I'm going to trip over that, okay. Why didn't Jesus just say, "I'm the Savior of the world, and Lazarus come up, and by the way, everybody in the grave with Lazarus come out too." And not just everybody in that grave, everybody in the whole world, just get up and be alive. Well, that would have been great, wouldn't it? Man, what if he just said, "I want to heal all the lepers and heal all the lame people and all the blind people. There's no more blindness." Why did he just choose a couple? Why Bartimaeus? Why the blind man or the lame man that sat begging? Why the lepers that came to him? Why not everybody else? The answer is because he did what the Father led him to do. And God was doing a work. The work of God is not general, it is specific. Now, generally, God wants to redeem all of mankind, but he specifically works in the lives of people with which he is drawing to himself, and the work that he's doing is a plan that he has, and we're allowed to be with him. I'm just helping you to think tonight. Listen, yes, in our logic, our human logic, it would have been nice to say, God, if you're going to do something for so-and-so, why don't you just do it for everybody? Lord, if you're gonna treat this, why don't you just heal everybody? But that's not the way God works. You see, it's not about our plan, our logic, and our convenience. It's about the plan that God is doing. I want to encourage you tonight in this because it's very important as we assess how we can be a part of this. Jesus was the Son of God, but he never took initiative of himself to do something. He always did what his Father was planning him to do. He knew the plan of God, and he accomplished that plan. He was in absolute surrender and dependence upon his Father. How futile, listen to me tonight, how silly it is for us to do what we think we ought to be doing without any direction from God. And I'll tell you, there's a lot of us, that, and myself included, that we're engaged in all kinds of things. And I've got to be careful about this because I love doing good things for the Lord. But can I tell you tonight, unless we're cooperating with God and what he's doing, we're just spinning our wheels spiritually. Unless we're cooperating with what God is doing. And what I'm saying is, you say, Pastor, that takes work. Why don't we just organize and do something? That feels good in the moment, but ultimately it's futile. What we need to understand is that if God's working around me, Lord, I need to be sensitive to what you're doing. How are you working around me? And that's, we need to be very sensitive about that. A conversation, a circumstance, an opportunity, or whatever it might be, and discerning that God is working in that situation. There is something here that's out of the ordinary that God is leading in, and I want to be a part of it right now in this situation. I'm saying that takes discernment and work. That takes something outside of our normal routine to recognize God working. We can go through life day by day and just do what we've organized to do and feeling very good in it because it's all the right things, but it's not what God's plan is. I'm not trying to cause us to question everything tonight. I'm just saying God is working. He involves us with that work. He wants to involve us. We have to be able to see it and discern it. You say, Pastor, it sounds mysterious, like it's out there. No, God speaks and we know and hear his voice. We can hear what he's telling us to do and we can be involved with it. The problem is our receptivity. And I go back to, you know, children and how you could speak right to them and say something and it's like they never heard it. Now, I mean, I think we adults, lest we get on our children too much, I think we adults are like that. And with each other, but also with God. God is working. He invites us to be a part of it. So my question to you tonight is, here's the question tonight. Do you recognize God at work around you? This is not judgment. This is an assessment. It's to help us to assess, where am I at in this? One of the greatest tragedies that a Christian, I think, can experience in their life is that they cannot see God at work around them. And it's a tragedy in my life. It's as if our spiritual eyesight is blinded and we have not learned to see what God is doing. Maybe we have in the past. Maybe there's been some times when, boy, this is obvious. Man, it's smacking me in the face. But can I tell you, the principle is not God works some of the time around us. The principle is God's working all the time around us. And so our spiritual eyesight needs to be focused. It needs to be in tune with what God is doing so that we can see it. And by the way, the greatest asset that you have for this is the work of the Holy Spirit in your life. God has given you the Holy Spirit in conjunction with his word. Listen, he uses it. We talked about this already. How do I have fellowship with God? Through his word and prayer and that communion that we have with him and fellowship. That takes work. It's much easier to say, we're going to set this time aside and we're going to labor for the Lord. All right, we got our labor done for the Lord. We feel like we've done something for God. When in reality, we've simply labored in God's work without God. I'm helping you tonight. Maybe this is not Christianity 101. I think this is maybe a little bit in depth here. We've got to understand that this takes work, it takes maturity, it takes a keenness of our spiritual life in order to be a part of this. When he brings these things to our attention, and we start to see him working, and we see, wow, that was God. This is, God must be doing something here. We begin to tune in and wake up to the reality of his work all around us. In our workplace, in our home, in our church, in our community, everywhere, there is not one place where God is not working. And I'll tell you tonight, the blindness that we have to the work of God oftentimes causes us to lose faith and ultimately lose heart in the work of God. We think God is done here. He's not doing anything. The work of God is done. Now, there's doors. There's people that won't receive the Lord. But I'm telling you, God is working. And the fact of the matter is that our inability to see it often leads us to discouragement. I told you last week about the church that was about to close. Remember that? Just a group of folks that just hadn't really done a whole lot, hadn't seen God do anything in any amount of time. They're just kind of dwindling, and through attrition, somebody would die or move away, and their church just dwindled to nothing. And they were going to go through this study. I told you about that study, and they were convinced that God is doing something around them. We're just going to ask the Lord. We can't see it. It doesn't seem like God's doing anything around us. It seems like God's done. He's closed the door. He's turned off the spigot. We better go find something else to do. But they just said, if this is true, let's put it to the test. This next week, we challenge each other that we're going to look and pray every day for God to show us what he's doing. And that's where I told you about, you know, the opportunity that came along for them to work with the kids after school and all the things, whatever it might be. And this is not something they weren't looking for. This is something that came to them. And God began, because they were open to this and their minds were open to this, God began to do a great work. And they never closed that church because God began to add to it. And things began to happen. Life began to go again. Why? Because God's at work and they are now in tune with what God was doing. Church, that's the whole bottom line. God is doing the work. It's not about we've got to labor harder, we've got to do more. It's about we need to get involved with what God is already doing. That's the point. And if we can get involved with that because of our focus on what his work is, then we can participate with him in this. So what are we to do about all this? What am I going to do? Because I know God is working. He involves me in the work. He wants me to be a part of it. I want to recognize it. What do I do? Let's go back to John 5, and I'll leave you with these principles. What did Jesus say about this? All right, so I read verse 17. My Father worketh hitherto, and I work. Go down to verse 19. And I only skipped 18 because it gives him a little bit of background there. It's not necessarily him speaking. But by the way, this is a great verse when it comes to showing that Jesus claimed to be God. Because in verse 18, even though I said I wasn't going to read it, they were angry with him because he broke the Sabbath and he legitimized it. He not excused it, but he said, listen, it's okay. And essentially, he was making himself equal with God. So they recognized very clearly this is what he was saying. There's no question Jesus was God because he claimed that. Notice verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said unto them, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. All right, did you catch that? I'm not going around doing what I want to do, Jesus said. I'm sure Jesus, because he had a heart of compassion, wanted to heal everybody. He wanted to raise everybody from the dead. I don't know, whatever the case is. But he only did what the Father wanted him to do and directed. I don't do anything of myself. I only do what the Father's doing. And I see what the Father's doing, and I join him in that work. All right, we go on. Look at verse number 20. For the Father loveth the Son. Isn't that random? But man, how important that is. I'm involved. I see what the Lord's doing. I see what God's doing. I'm involved with it. And the Father loves the Son. That seems random. It seems out of place, but it's not. It is the motivation. It's the love relationship that God seeks in all of us. It's the foundation for what we do. The Father loveth the Son and showeth him all things that himself doeth. And he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raiseth up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Listen, here's the breakdown of that, all right? If you say, well, what does this all mean then? Can I just say this is the thinking of the Lord Jesus. Number one, we follow the pattern that Christ gave us. Notice a couple of these things. Number one, he said, my Father is working all along. All right, we already pointed that out. Number two, I am working with the Father. That's what he says. He says, I work in verse number 17. My Father worketh hitherto and I work. Number three, what I'm doing is not of my own initiative. That's what he said. I don't do what I want to do. I don't do just what I think is good to do. I don't look around and see just good things or opportunities. I do what the Father is doing. It's not my initiative. It's the Father's. Okay, number four, he says, I can see what God is doing. He said that in verse number 19. Verily I say unto thee, the Son can do nothing of himself. There's the initiative that's of the Father. But what he seeth the Father do. So I can see what God is doing. This is what Jesus is saying. Number five, wherever we're at. I get to be involved in what God is doing. Are you seeing the progression here? And then he says, lastly, the Father loves me, and because he loves me, that relationship is primary, and then he shows me what he's doing. Now, church, here's what I want to tell you tonight. The key is not that I can build up an army of mighty workers for the Lord, and we can get organized and all go out and expend our energy for the Lord. Boy, that's wonderful. It looks great on the outside, but ultimately it's fruitless, and it's not sustainable. What is sustainable is when we learn that God is working and he loves us, and the primary motivation for what I do for the Lord is not just being busy for God and doing everything I can to burn out for God, but it is in being in love with God. Ultimately, that's the greatest commandment. Are you with me? Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love God. And out of that love relationship with God, now I can see what God's doing around me. Huh. I had a conversation with somebody, you know, randomly in the store. It seemed to come out of the blue. And God just seemed to work in that situation. Man, I had an opportunity. You know, this or that came along. It just seems like I can see God in this. I can see God in that answer to prayer. I can see God in that thought to pray for somebody or whatever it might be. And now I'm going to be involved with that. See, doing what God has called us to do is important to understand that he is leading it at all. Not of my initiative, but his. Do we really believe that tonight? I hope that at least in concept, you're understanding that it's so important for us to do what God is already doing, and we come into cooperation with him and allow him to work through us in that situation. Number one, what am I going to do about this? Well, we follow the pattern of Christ. I just gave you five things that Christ said here in John chapter 5 concerning the work of God in his life. Number two, as a result of that then, that love relationship that I have to God, the fact that I can be in cooperation with him, and he loves me and wants to show me what he's doing so I can be involved with him. As a result of that, here it is, when you see God working, when you learn to recognize that God's working around you, change whatever you need to get involved with what he's doing. In that moment, or going forward, whatever it might be, change whatever you got to do. You know what Jesus often did? He was walking down the road, and he would often be redirected by inconveniences or things that would happen that maybe we would consider to be uncomfortable or inconvenient. Can I tell you tonight, Jesus wasn't inconvenienced. Why? Because he realized, man, I know I have this to do, but this is something God is working in. And because he's working in this, I'm going to change this and go here. I'm going to follow the Lord. Now, I don't think God, Jesus, necessarily had a will of his own to do like we do, a sinful, like I want to do this. But it was rather just I'm willing to do what God wants me to do. Are you like that? Are you like that in your Christian life where if you see God working, you change what's necessary? Maybe it's in the moment, I'm going to change my schedule, or in life, I'm going to change this direction, or I'm going to change this thinking, or whatever it might be, so I can be involved with what God's doing. Now see, that changes it really changes the paradigm of ministry, doesn't it? It makes it less of a structure we do this at a certain time and do this at a certain time. We all love structure. We all love this. But ultimately, the Christian life, did Jesus have, he didn't punch a time clock. Another one punching a time clock, but I'm talking about ministry, working with God. Ministry is not a time clock. Ministry is not a structured thing. It is a led by the Holy Spirit thing. I want to be led by the Lord. I want to be led by the Spirit. Now, again, be careful. I don't want this to run you off the rails in your faith. I just want you to understand that our whole life is lived by faith. It's lived by what God wants to do. He is the initiator. He is the one that leads us. So it's easy for us to structure things because it makes it feel like we're being useful. But in reality, God wants us to exercise our Christian life in such a way that we're practicing, focusing on Him, so we can cooperate with Him in His work. And I believe that really is the truth. So when we understand what God is doing, we need to change what's necessary in order to get involved with it. It may be I've got to say, I've got a schedule, I've got to keep, but I see God working here, I'm going to make this priority. I know I should. The Holy Spirit prompts me to reach out to someone or to pray for someone or to do something or to witness to someone or whatever the case might be, whatever the ministry is. And we can say, well, I don't have time right now. Or I don't know if that's the right, a question. And it's easy for us to put it aside instead of cooperating with Him in it. Learn to see what He's doing and then learn to change what's necessary to be involved in that ministry. Can I just pose this challenge to you? We're going to be done. Can we just this week purpose, just put God on trial? And if you would say, Lord, to the best of my ability this week, every moment that I can, and remember, I know it's going to take practice, and you're probably going to get through the first 3 days of the week and forget about it, like me, if we're not careful. Set a reminder, whatever it might be, but just purpose to seek the Lord and to see what He's doing around you. Lord, would you just open my eyes to what you're doing? It's like the servant Gehazi when Elijah was, they were all surrounded, right? Remember that? And he said, Lord, just open his eyes, let him see. And all of a sudden, he saw what he couldn't see before. And that was the host of the Lord encamped round about on the mountain. And I think that's really what we need to see. Just not spooky, not mysterious. I'm just saying, Lord, would you open my eyes to what you're doing around me? Would you show me what you're doing? Maybe it's in my kids' life, my family, my home, the world around me. Whatever it is, Lord, would you open my eyes to opportunities to pray for people that you bring to mind? God wants to, He wants people to be praying for things that go on. I've heard stories and testified, even sometimes when we have a we're compelled to pray for someone. In that very moment, God is working very specifically in their life. May God give us prayer warriors that just are led by the Spirit to cooperate with God. Even our prayers ought not to be just whatever we want. They ought to be directed by God. Now, I know that all sounds so hard and tough and difficult, but can I say, God wants to do this. And if we would just learn to practice and cooperate with Him, He can do great things with us in our lives. I'm going to close with that. I've got some more to say, but there's Old Testament illustrations where God directed them, whether it was Moses, and every one of them felt unqualified. Moses said, I can't speak, right? David, when he was chosen to be king, he was out tending the flock. Nobody would say David's the one. He's the youngest. He's not capable. He's not ready for that. Gideon was not courageous. What I'm saying is God doesn't qualify us to do whatever we want to do. He calls us, and then we cooperate, and as we cooperate, He enables. That's the pattern that I want you to see tonight. May the Lord help us. And I would ask you to be very specific tonight in your commitment for the Lord. If you want to be one of those that say, Lord, I really do want to have that, I'm going to take that challenge this week. Would you just open my eyes to what you're doing around me? And let me just get a glimpse into it. We're not going to be perfect at it right away, especially if we've been kind of out of focus. But if we could just learn to see what God is doing around us, and if you're willing to make that commitment tonight, I challenge you to make that commitment to the Lord. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word and the truth of it, Lord. I feel like there's so much left to learn here, but Lord, I pray that you would help us to take the steps that we're we're familiar with and that we know. And Lord, the faith that we have, and I pray that you would teach us. Help us, Lord, to cooperate with you in these things. It really is, Lord, a different level of living, Lord, that takes us beyond what we can do and just the fruitlessness of our lives. And Lord, it brings you into focus and it allows us to cooperate with you. And there, Lord, therein is the fruitfulness. John 15 says, "For without me you can do nothing." We need to be plugged into the vine. I think this is a very practical way to do that. Lord, would you help us, I pray, as your people? Maybe, Lord, there's a bit of a misunderstanding or even a lack of understanding. I pray that you would help us, Lord, to just take steps in what we understand. And would you teach us? Lord, enlighten our eyes. Focus us, we pray. Wake us up. Help us, we pray, in these things tonight to labor with you in your work that you're doing. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I would pose the question again to you. Would you seek